Are you ready for the Dallas Cowboys podcast?
Through 45, 40, 30, Dez Bryant tripped up. No, he's still on his feet inside the 20, and he's knocked out of the 17-yard line.
Romo pulls for it, gets it, looking near side, lofting end zone for
Bryant. The ball, he's got it for a touchdown. He threw it up in the air, and Bryant leapt up and grabbed it. And the Cowboys, on the opening drive of the 2011 season, have themselves a 6-0 lead.
Throws a sharp pass down the right side for Austin. At the 5, away from the defender, diving to the end zone. Touchdown, Miles Austin.
His third touchdown of this game, Brad.
And stand by. He's got Holly all alone at the 50. Holly to the 40. Holly to the 20. Right to the 15. 10. Dragged down at the 2 as he showed off the ball. It must be a reality show.
Oh, my goodness.
Football is a rough game and often a cruel one.
Every time you lose, you die a little bit. You die inside, a portion of you. Not all of your organs, maybe just your liver.
Pain is inevitable.
I like this kind of party. I like this kind of party, baby.
All right, sports fans, thanks for tuning in. This is America's Team, the Dallas Cowboys podcast. As always, just about. I'm your host, Joe Bandy. Thank you. What are you going to do? I must owe him money. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. This is Cowboys Eagles Week. Cowboys and Eagles tipping off Sunday night in Philly, the city of brother love. Is that what it is? Brother love? I'm not too sure. Anyway, for Cowboys fan, there has never been too much love coming out of Philly. But anyway, this is an exciting time to be a Dallas Cowboys fan, and the game couldn't come at a better time. Coming off a big win against the lowly St. Louis Rams. Oh, woe is me. I would not want to be a St. Louis fan at this point. Tonight, hey, let's tip our hats to the Texas Rangers, leading that series 3-2, and hopefully going to seal up win their first World Series tonight. That would be awesome. So let's hope the woes continue for St. Louis, and let's hope that the winning continues for the Dallas Cowboys. It's going to be a tough matchup this weekend, so we'll get into it. We'll dive into it. The show is packed. We have all kinds of good nuggets, information, interviews, lots of news coming out this week with the Cowboys and the Eagles. So we'll get to it coming up next in First Down. First Down. All right, well, let's look at some news and notes coming out of this week's game. On the Eagles side of the ball, they're looking forward to getting left tackle Jason Peters and defensive end Trent Cole back. Peters is going to be huge for them because, you know, with what we're going to bring with DeMarcus Ware and Anthony Spencer, the way we like to flip those guys around and then the way we move our outside linebackers around, they're going to need a healthy offensive line, and that starts with their left tackle, Jason Peters. Now, on the right side of things, looks like you have Todd Harriman's. And, you know, they're going to need both of those guys because of the pressure that we're gonna bring with Rob Ryan's system. And then on the opposite side of things, they're getting back Trent Cole, who is their defensive end. And I got to tell you, this guy's a beast. So they couldn't get him back at a better time, unfortunately, for us. Because in my opinion, outside of probably Nnamdi, he's their best defensive player. Now, what does Michael Vick need to work on? Well, he was asked that question this week. And he says he's happy with the progress he's made against the blitz. Said that, you know, earlier on he was having some problems picking up the blitz, but that he's improved that. And he'd like to work on getting the ball out of his hands a little faster, work on finding those passing lanes a little better, and then not taking the big hit. Now, obviously, we don't want him to improve on any of those things. I mean, we want to apply pressure to him. We don't want the ball coming out fast. We don't want him to find those lanes. We want to clog those lanes. And obviously, we want to bring extreme bodily injury with extreme prejudice to Michael Vick. And obviously I say that with in jest. I don't want Michael Vick to get injured, but we do want to hit him. We do want to knock him down, and we do want to remind him that we're there on every play. Now, some of the players that we need to keep an eye on, obviously, and I like to use that word obviously a lot, I'm finding out, but LeSean McCoy, you know, he's averaging 21 touches per game. That ranks eighth in the NFL. And so he's probably going to look at getting another 21 touches this weekend. So definitely need to stop the run, which we, you know, we're number one in the league at right now. So that's great. Jeremy Maclin is having a Pro Bowl season. He's got 37 catches with an average of 6 catches per game. That actually projects out to 96 receptions for the season, which is ridiculous. He's a complete receiver. He's got speed, strength, hands, explosiveness. And, you know, he's going to be a handful. He's burned us in the past. And then, you know, we don't even need to talk about Jackson and what he's done against us. So we really need to, you know, it's going to be a tough day for our secondary. But I think that if we can get the right amount of pressure on Vic, then let our safeties and corners go to work. I think it can be a favorable matchup for the Cowboys on Sunday night. And thinking about it, another player that we're really going to have to account for is going to be Mike Patterson. If he plays like he did on Sunday, which was dominating, Patterson and Cullen Jenkins, if they handle their business against us, it's going to be a long day for Tony Romo and in our running game. So we'll just have to wait and see how that pans out. But also, I can't wait to see how Juan Castillo matches up against our Dallas receiving corps. You know, we're obviously one of the best in the NFL, so that ought to be an interesting matchup as well. All right, another little tidbit coming out of Eagles camp is that Asante Samuel got a little butt hurt this week and had to have a little sit-down with Coach Andy Reid today. And apparently they ironed out their differences. Samuel met with reporters and said that he had a much better understanding of how the business of the NFL works. Well, no duh, kid. This all stems from the fact that I guess it was leaked to him, or he kind of got word that after Nnamdi and Cromartie came in town that his butt was on the trading block, and he was not excited about it. And so he went to venting, and so they had to have a little sit down and get Asante squared away. And they probably told him, look, dude, you either, you know, get it right or you're going to hit the road because, you know, we were going to trade you for a reason, brother. But so all is well, and they were seen holding hands in the parking lot after the meeting. Okay, before we get off the Eagles, I did want to circle back real quick to Trent Cole. Just reading a couple things here. It says that the Eagles' pass rush has really missed the 7-year veteran. In the first 4 games with Cole healthy, their defense produced 15 sacks. They've managed just 3-2 games without him. And his absence has been especially detrimental for fellow end Jason Babin, who has not notched a single sack since racking up 7 in the first 4 games. Cole has been such a force that he constantly draws double teams, allowing his teammates to get more involved in the pass rushing game. So, like I was saying, this guy Cole is going to bring it. He elevates their entire defense. And really, outside of Nnamdi, I mean, this guy is probably their best player over there. So we're really going to have to account for that kid on every single snap. Okay, now turning over to the Cowboys side of the ball, a few interesting you know, tidbits coming out of the Cowboys camp this week. Now, as of today, Thursday, everybody was full practice today except for Felix Jones. So obviously we know that Felix Jones is not going to be playing for the next few weeks, probably another you know, week to two. His initial injury called for, they were thinking, 2 to 4 weeks. So with him watching what DeMarco Murray is doing, that could do a couple different things. It could speed up his recovery in his own mind, or it could push his recovery back because he doesn't need to rush back when DeMarco Murray is going to get the majority of the carries anyway. But Felix wasn't the only one that's dinged up. Tashard Choice is still nursing a shoulder injury from last week's game. But he did practice. And then Kyle Kozar was back. Jason Hatcher was back. Derek Dockery was back. Beeler was back. So pretty much for the first time this year, everybody practiced except for one person. And so Jason Garrett's got to be happy about that. Probably makes his game planning a little bit easier. Now, I will say this. This is kind of late breaking news as of this recording that Matt McBrier came up with a foot injury today, a left foot injury, which is his plant foot. However, he did practice, but the team is looking at, just for insurance purposes, maybe picking up another punter on the off chance, God forbid, something happens and this kid can't punt. But the problem is, we have to have him. I think he's right now, I believe he's averaging about fourth in the league with right around 59 yards a punt. And so we've got to have that kid back there. So hopefully he'll push through and they can make do and he can perform at his normal excellent level. Okay, so now the news that I know you've all been waiting for. This just in. Fox News in Dallas. Now here's the setup. Miles Austin and Tony Romo were at a local high school or elementary school, I believe it was, and doing their normal gig where they go around and, you know, tell kids not to do drugs or, don't sniff glue or whatever it is that they do when they're out there, helping these kiddos out. But anyway, so they were at an assembly and they were asked the question if either one of them have children. And Miles Austin, of course, said, no, I don't have any children. And then looked over and handed the microphone to Tony, who then kind of chuckled and said, actually, we just found out we're having a baby. So congratulations to Tony Romo and his new wife. They didn't waste any time. The Romo, he's fast in the pocket, I guess. But anyway, they're expecting a kid. Now, the funny part of this is the media in Dallas has kind of gone overboard with this. And they led the story saying that they now know, and this was a real serious intro, a teaser for their news, was that they figured out why Tony has been distracted. So there you have it, Tony Romo expecting baby Romo. I don't know when the due date is, but I'm guessing somewhere around 9 months from now. But so there you have it. Have a little Romo back there, and hopefully, be a cute little kid. All right, so that's going to do it for first down. Wow, we went long on first down. So coming back in second down, we'll just continue talking about the Cowboys. We'll look at some numbers and some interesting statistics coming into this game.
Second down.
Okay, back with you now. Let's delve a little deeper into this game. Now, last week, finally, the Cowboys came off a decisive win. There was no late-game drama. And in the process, we kind of figured out, hey, by the way, we have a pretty good rookie running back sitting on the bench over there. Let's give him the ball a lot. So the Cowboys are 3-3, yet only 1-2 in road games. The Eagles are 2-4 and 0-2 at home. So it's always a close game. So this could be a coin flip. I need to look and see what the line is. I'll get that by the end of the game, see what Vegas thinks. But we traded road wins in 2010 with them beating us, with us winning in their house and they winning in ours. And then obviously in 2009, we beat them three times, twice in the regular season and then once in the playoffs. So we'll see if that can continue into this weekend's game. Another interesting number here is that under Coach Andy Reid, the Eagles are 12-0 coming out of a bye. That's a pretty impressive number, and it never plays well for the Cowboys. But you have to counterbalance that number with the fact that this year, teams coming out of a bye so far are, I believe the number is 3-12. And then the Cowboys, of course, we lost coming out of our bye. So it's kind of an interesting, you got it going two ways there. So we'll have to find out if it's going to be lucky number 13 for the Eagles or for the Cowboys. Okay, just recapping some quarterback numbers here. The monster game of Murray kind of meant that Tony Romo had an unproductive game last week. He only had 166 passing yards and two scores, but he's passed for 300-plus yards in four of the five previous games. So we can probably look for probably an average of that. And then the Eagles secondary has been surprisingly soft. They've allowed 11 passing touchdowns, and but they've never allowed more than 291 yards, and that's due in part mainly because of the opponents are having such a good time rushing the ball against them. So hopefully the good times will continue to roll for DeMarco Murray. The Eagles, they're weak against the run. They've allowed 7 touchdowns to running backs this season. They've had 5 guys go over 90-plus yards against them. So, you know, that this could be a good matchup and a favorable matchup for the Cowboys. Okay, switching from running backs to wide receivers. Miles Austin had a quiet game last week. He only had 2 catches for 16 yards. Dez Bryant obviously had a great day, 90 yards on 5 catches, 1 score. Both of these guys come in with 4 touchdowns each. Numbers a little skewed just because they both missed some games. The Eagles this year have faced few teams that really throw the ball well. And going back to what we said earlier, mainly because a lot of these teams are just able to run the balls so effective against them. So we may see a little drop in production from Dez or Miles just because our running game hopefully will pick up the slack. But we'll just have to wait and see how that pans out. Some numbers to throw at you from the Eagles. They got their win last week, snapping a 4-game losing streak. They're going to have 3 games at home, and then they are on the road the rest of the season. 7 games in a row on the road. On the flip side, the Cowboys have the away game, and then we'll be back for a couple against the Seahawks, the Sea Chickens, and the Buffalo Bills. Now, interesting number I came across here. The first 6 games of this season, the Cowboys' opponents were 22-10. The next 7 games, our opponents are 12-30. So our schedule's really going to lighten up here. Now, of course, barring, you know, injury, anything can happen, but that's why I thought it was very important that we get through those first 5-6 games at 500 or better. And so it looks like we're on track to do that, and expect big things for the Cowboys coming up here in the future. Okay, looking at some of the other players for the Eagles, obviously we know that Michael Vick is their playmaker. He's got a ton of touchdowns. Here's where they're all going to. LeSean McCoy. This kid's unbelievable. He scored 6 times already and 8 adding in receiving touchdowns. He's been well over 100 total yards in all but 1 game and rarely shares any carries. He's on pace for 280 carries for 1,500 yards, 19 touchdowns with 56 catches for 328 yards and 5 more touchdowns. He better slow down or he's going to be setting a franchise record for the Eagles, and that's saying something knowing who they've been throwing the ball to out of their backfield all these years. Hello, Brian Westbrook. On the flip side of that, the Cowboys have been outstanding against the run. We've only allowed 2 rushing touchdowns all year and never more than 70 yards rushing. McCoy still has a good chance at least probably 1 touchdown since he scores every week, but his yardage should be a lot lower this weekend. Both starting wideouts for the Eagles have been good and yet rarely great this season. DeSean Jackson, he's been more of a disappointment with 3 efforts of less than 50 yards and no scores, while Jeremy Maclin has remained good. He's had 50 yards each week and 3 touchdowns to only 2 for Jackson. They've turned in, respectively, games of 170 yards and 100 yards. Good, but not great. And so the Cowboys secondary will have its hands full. DeSean Jackson, you know, he tends to get off against the Cowboys, so hopefully we can stop that this weekend. The Cowboys have not yet allowed a receiver to top 100 yards against them. And so we've had a few that have been close, but nobody's topped that century mark yet. Okay, that's going to do it for second down. Third down coming up now. Third down. All right, so crashing right into third down. So this week, of course, everything you're going to hear about is really Michael Vick and what he brings to the ball game, his special brand of football, how fast he is, his rifle of an arm, his ability to escape tackles, elude defenders, and generally wreak havoc on your defense. So let's listen to some audio now. This is Brady James talking about Michael Vick.
And he's left-handed, and it always presents a challenge to a defense when you face a left-handed quarterback. But not just a left-handed quarterback. He has all kind of skills, and, you know, he can beat you with his feet. I mean, everybody knows it's the same stuff. You know, he can beat you with his feet. He can throw the ball. It's like a frozen rope. When he throws it, he has weapons. And so it's up to us to not allow those big plays to happen.
When I think about Michael Vick, he's probably one of the fastest, most athletic guys on the field, and you got to find some way to stop him. You know, corral the rabbit.
So corral the rabbit. How about cook him in a stew and serve him with some fava beans? The last part of that was DeMarcus Ware. So Brady James there just talking about started off with you know, and you don't really think about this except when you're actually watching the game. It does seem a little odd at first, but those left-handed quarterbacks, everything's flipped, so your left tackle really has to your right tackle really has to be kind of the left tackle for a normal guy. And so defensively, you have to adjust for that as well. And having spent some time in Atlanta in Vic's early years playing there and watching him play, you know, obviously he's an amazing athlete. But the thing that I always liked about Michael Vick was that you could knock him for things, you know, when he was – early in his career, of course, he just relied on his speed a lot, and so he'd flush out of the pocket. Didn't throw the ball as well. He's actually a pretty good thrower now, but the thing that I always liked about Vic, and I always told people, is the guy just seems to find a way to win games. And that's what, as you know, now that he's with the Eagles, I hate that about him, because the guy can just will victories sometimes. And that's kind of what I'd like to see out of Romo. But Vic can just, he's amazing. He can find way. He's just a winner. It may not be pretty. It may be ugly. But the kid generally can find a way to win a game. And, you know, Romo didn't play at all against the Eagles last year. So it's going to be a tough test for Romo as well and their secondary, and to see if he can come out of this with a victory. Okay, so now we're going to listen in to part of Jason Garrett's press conference. This is from Thursday. A lot of the same stuff he said on Friday. The press conference on Friday wasn't as long and didn't have as much information. So I'm going to play most of the stuff that I thought was interesting from Thursday's presser. So here comes some comments from Jason Garrett, starting out with Rob Ryan and what he's brought and what he means to the Dallas Cowboys.
Just where has Rob Ryan made, where and how has he made the biggest impact on your defense since he took over as coordinator?
I just think he's done an outstanding job. He's an outstanding leader over there. He's very knowledgeable. He's put a system in place that's fundamentally sound and also is multiple and provides some problems for opposing offenses. I think he's done a great job with game planning. I think he and his staff do a great job teaching the players what we want from a technical standpoint. And I think the other thing is there's an energy level that our defensive guys play with that's outstanding. You know, we talk about it from minute one when we get together, passion, emotion, enthusiasm. That's the way you're supposed to live life. That's certainly the way you're supposed to play and coach football. He brings that. And I think you can see that in the players really throughout our football team and definitely on the defensive side of the ball.
So Garrett talking about what Rob Ryan brings, and really – Rob Ryan's been my favorite addition to this Dallas Cowboys team. We didn't have a whole lot of offseason acquisitions, but wow, this guy has made all the difference in the world. I know I probably sound like a broke record, but I say this every week. This guy is getting so much more out of this team than Wade Phillips ever did. And the enthusiasm that he coaches with and that he brings to that defensive squad is just it's awesome. And I just love watching the guy on the sideline. You know, he's animated, that silver hair's flying. I love it. I don't know what, man. I'm almost afraid that he's going to be too successful and he's not going to be here except for 1 year because somebody's going to hire the guy away. I mean, he's got a twin brother who, you know, has been pretty successful in the NFL as a head coach. So it's only a matter of time before this guy ends up as a head coach somewhere. So, you know, I wish the best for him, but I would like to see him stick here, stick around until we win a Super Bowl with him. Here's some more Jason Garrett comments, talking to the media. This time he's talking a little bit about Michael Vick.
one rushing team in the National Football League. They can run it. They run it a lot of different ways. They make a lot of plays in space, and certainly when Michael Vick's the quarterback, he makes a ton of plays. When DeSean Jackson and Macklin are the receivers, they make a ton of plays. You just got to put the tape on. You see it all over the place.
When will you have the discussions about whether DeMarco would start this week, and after he rushed for 253 yards, what is there to discuss?
Just have ongoing discussions about the role of our players. We try to get everybody ready.
I'll just cut it off right there. They start badgering him about DeMarco Murray again, and he's tight-lipped about it. He's not going to tell us who the starter is. Of course it's going to be DeMarco Murray. I mean, Tashard Choice, who do you want in there, the guy that came in and ran for 253 yards or the guy that came in with two carries and a fumble? So and who has a separated shoulder right now? So it's a dumb question, but he's not going to give that information out. They've been asking him all week. So basically he said that he's going to wait till Friday and get three practices in, and then he'll make his decision. But it's going to be a no-brainer. I'm starting him on my fantasy football team this week, so I suggest you do the same. Okay, more from Jason Garrett. This time he's going to be talking more about the defense.
Well, I think there are different overall defensive schematic structure. They're still playing a 4-3 defense. They don't seem to be pressuring quite as much as they have in the past, such a trademark of those Jim Johnson defenses. But they provide pressure because they have really outstanding front four, and really it's more than four. It's a lot of different guys playing those spots. Defensive ends are outstanding. They're pressure players. They're up the field. They really get after opposing offensive tackles. And certainly the defensive tackles are guys who can defend the run and also are good penetrators, and they push the pocket. So while they might not be calling as many blitzes, they're still providing a lot of pressure from those front guys. They're very active. Just put the tape on. They play really, really fast all across their defense. So they challenge you in a lot of different ways.
Okay, Garrett, just, you know, talk a little bit about what the Eagles do on defense, kind of getting away from the Johnson defense that they were running there for a while, really blitz happy, kind of more similar to what we're doing now in Dallas, which we kind of have what a lot of people call the walk around defense. But what they've actually gotten into doing is it's called a wide nine defense, and they split their ends out wider than you would normally set. They run a 4-3, and they put those ends out there really wide to get a steeper angle of attack on the quarterback. But what's actually been a side effect of that is that teams are gashing them for the runs because it's opening up running lanes. And so it'll be interesting to see if they continue to do that against the Cowboys and to see if we do, in fact, have success running the ball into that wide nine defense if they do employ it. Okay, back to Garrett talking about Montre Holland and his return.
It's accurate to say instructions, but we talked about what happened, and I think the biggest thing with Montre in training camp was that he got hurt. He pulled his hamstring and really missed about 3 weeks of practice and couldn't run. And that's difficult for any player, but particularly for the big guys when they can't run and get themselves into game condition. And he played at the end of the preseason, but he wasn't quite himself. And we felt like that was the best decision for our team at that time. And he certainly responded well to it because he came back in much better shape. The hamstring seems to have healed up. He's probably 10 pounds lighter. And like we talked last week, we as coaches were watching him to see how he was going to respond in practice last week. Can this guy get game ready in 3 days after having not played football for 6 weeks? And he showed us that he could do that. He got through the game fairly well. And, we're hopefully he's able to do that in the coming weeks.
So, yeah, just more comments about Holland. And just go back and listen to my show from last week. That guy is a warrior. I mean, the dude was sitting on his couch and came in with 3 days of practice, played that entire game, and not only played, but played well. So that great, great surprise right there. So we'll see how he handles the rest of the season, but definitely started on a good note. Okay, a little bit more Jason Garrett here, and this is him talking about, talking about DeMarco Murray.
We talk about the transition from college to the NFL all the time, and everyone says, well, he's a bigger school guy. The transition for him will be easy. He's been playing these kinds of players, these kinds of games for a long time. And I understand the reasoning for that, and I believe in that reasoning. Having said that, it's a jump for any player from the college ranks to come into the NFL, regardless of how many snaps you've taken in a big-time college environment. And I think that's the same thing with DeMarco Murray. And the NFL is bigger, stronger, faster than college football. It's just what it is. The players are, the schemes are more difficult. Everything about it is more accelerated. So it's a jump for anybody. I do think his transition has been fairly smooth. If you think about him not having a true offseason, missing a lot of training camp, and he was just trying to get his rhythm towards the end of training camp, playing in that last preseason game. Like we talked, we felt like he played his most natural football last week against New England. He got some more carries and started to look like himself, and then obviously, the game the other day was an outstanding performance by him.
Okay, so this just in, DeMarco Murray, stud. See last week, 253 yards. The guy's a beast. He can motor. He's fast. He can hit you and make you hurt to where when you see him coming again, you don't want to get in his way. But, I you know, he's deceptive, and he's quick, and he's a good one-cut type of guy. Now, if you go back and watch that long run that he had, I'll tell you, it'll make you appreciate how fast Dez Bryant is. Because on that run, you know, DeMarco's leaving everybody behind. And then, boom, out of nowhere, here comes Dez Bryant to kind of give him that, you know, to kind of help him out with some blocking. And Dez Bryant damn near catches up with him. And, you know, if they would have gone any further, he definitely would have. But, man, both of those guys are speed demons. But, you know, go back and watch that highlight, and you will see how quick and get a good understanding of exactly what people are talking about when they're talking about how fast Dez Bryant is. So, listen, we've ran long in this show. It's the, you know, Philly-Dallas. You're always going to have a lot of material. But so we're gonna skip fourth down. And we'll look forward to getting back here next week for the Eagles recap show. Hopefully it'll be a positive show. If not, if you see a small plume of smoke coming from the Austin area, you'll know that my head exploded. But thank you once again for tuning in. This is America's Team, the Dallas Cowboys podcast. And I always encourage you to email the show if you have any questions, concerns, comments. You can do so at atpodcast@sbcglobal.net. That's America's Team, atpodcast@sbcglobal.net. Thanks for joining us. Look forward to hearing from you, and have a great weekend, and go Cowboys.
You've been listening to America's Team, the Dallas Cowboys podcast.